Now, in your life, there are a lot of important days, aren't there? You think of those days that are really significant, but there is one day, if you have been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, that is the most significant day of your life. And it's the day that Brother Walton just sang about today. It's the day when you give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ for your life. Now, how many of you know that that is intimidating and joyful at the very same time? And I want to tell you, if you on that day, the most important day of your life, want to find a day of joy, you're going to need wisdom that is far beyond yourself. In fact, you need God's wisdom. Because as we live life in time, it's very difficult to keep a perspective of eternity while we're living in time. And so God helps us through His Word to live wisely in time so that when we one day appear before the Lord Jesus and we give account for our lives, what we've done, that it will be for us a day of reward and a day of rejoicing. Well, sometimes you have to watch because you'll pick up wisdom that may be questionable as to whether it's truly wise. Maybe you've heard a saying like this: if you try to fail and succeed, which have you done? Now, I'm going to say that again, let you think about it, because some of you are clearly thinking this through. And if you try to fail and succeed, which have you done? How about this one? The tongue weighs practically nothing, but so few people can hold it. Or maybe you've thought of this one: misery doesn't love company, misery doesn't love anything. And maybe you've known some people that are that kind of a person. Well, I guess I'm telling you all that to say we all need wisdom. We're in a series in the book of 2 Timothy entitled Running Your Incredible Race. Remember, this is Paul's last letter. He is soon to give his life for the Lord. His race will soon be done. And he comes to the end of his life, and he writes this letter to his colleague in ministry, his friend, Timothy, who's a pastor in Ephesus. And Paul's reflecting on his own life and the race that he had run, his incredible race. And he's giving Timothy instruction for the race that was before him so that Timothy too would run an incredible race. And in these pages, we are learning about what God wants us to know so that we too, in our generation, will run an incredible race. So open with me, if you would, again to the book of 2 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, as always, or as usual, we usually do. I'll give you time to find it, and then we will stand in a few moments to read the scriptures as I read. You'll follow along as I read aloud. All right, let's all stand together, shall we? 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 10, and we'll address through verse 17 today. But I want you to notice verse 1 particularly of chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And remember, the theme of this chapter is preparing us for perilous times. And last week, as we opened the scriptures, we learned that in God's viewpoint, what perilous times are. And here's what we learned. We learned that we are living from God's perspective in perilous times. And how many of you would agree, from God's perspective, we are living in perilous times, spiritually perilous times? And so the Apostle Paul continues helping Timothy to be wise in these perilous times. Verse 10 now. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured! But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax or become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I'm going to preach to you today on the subject, be wise, learning to live in perilous times. And in this passage of Scripture, God tells us about four areas about which to be wise if you want to run an incredible race. Are you ready to run? You need God's wisdom? Let's ask Him to help us today, all right? So, Lord God, we come to You in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, claiming His authority as the resurrected Lord. And we come by Jesus, the sacrificial substitute for our sin, who's made forgiveness of sins possible to all who believe. And we ask, oh God, especially considering the brevity of our life, that You would do a supernatural work by Your Spirit as we open the Scriptures to help us to be wise. And we are insufficient in our wisdom, Lord. You are all sufficient. And we come to You asking that You would intersect what You are doing in our lives with Your Word, so that today individuals will humbly submit to Your will and will become more wise in these perilous times. So God, we need You to do this. Help me as the preacher to know Your enabling, and help me to fairly and accurately handle the Word. As a hearer on behalf of my friends and that are with us, we ask that You, by Your Spirit, would help us as hearers to receive from You today. For we pray it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So let's talk about the five areas about which to be wise in perilous times. The first is this: God tells us to be wise about the people who impact you in perilous times. Be wise about the people who impact you in perilous times. This passage of Scripture begins, this paragraph of Scripture begins with a contrasting conjunction in verse 10, and it draws our attention to the people that Paul already talked about and some of the people that he was dealing with and had to confront in his day, that he calls their behaviors and their actions in verse 9 folly. He says, there are foolish people. You're having to confront them. You're dealing with your people and your congregation at Ephesus, and your people are being tested and tried, and these people are trying to draw your people away, and you are being confronted. But I want you to know that in these perilous times, there are people that are going to try to draw them away. But I want you to know, remember about how God has used me in your life to impact you in a positive way. In fact, he reminds us then of those problematic people. And then he uses himself as the comparison of those who are uplifting. And how many of you know what I'm talking about when there are some people who are spiritually problematic and others who are spiritually uplifting? How many of you know what I'm talking about? In fact, why don't you write, the people that are spiritually problematic, why don't you write their name down? Just write it down real quick. Well, maybe not, because somebody might look at that and you know what that could mean. But how many, there are people you could write down, people are spiritually uplifting. And when you're in perilous times in your life, you are vulnerable. You have to be careful who the people are that influence your life. And in fact, then in your incredible race, you will find people who are spiritually problematic and people who are spiritually uplifting. Who will you let impact you in your life? So Paul shares his testimony of the spiritually uplifting impact that he had on Timothy in verses 10 and 11. Look at your Bible again in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, in this testimony, there are three characteristics of people that you and I need to influence us in perilous times. You'll notice in verse 10 when the Apostle Paul says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." And remember that the Apostle Paul and Timothy were companions. They'd known each other now for many, many years. They were colleagues in ministry. They traveled together in missions. Now Timothy was pastoring. And he said, "I want you to know, Timothy, you know me so well. And of all that you know of me, I want you to know, first of all, that you know my doctrine." And it reminds us of this, that people that are spiritually uplifting are people that need to have doctrinal accuracy. Whether it's the blog or the website or the Facebook post or the preacher or the books you read or the coworker or family member, whoever it is that has your ear, you need to be careful and be wise about the person to whom you listen. Are they doctrinally accurate? And you have to be discerning, because the inaccuracies that are the most easy to swallow are the ones that sound so good and they're close enough, but they're still not true. So whenever you are in perilous times, you need to be careful. Who are the people that I'm listening to? Whose ear? Who has my ear? Make sure that they are people with doctrinal accuracy. There's another characteristic that's noted here. And the Apostle Paul begins sharing his life with Timothy, and we see his life, and Timothy knew that what he was saying was true, as he described in verse 11 his personal authenticity. So you'll notice then, look at the words that are used to describe Paul's life. Beside knowing his doctrine, Paul says, "You know, Timothy, you've also known my manner of life. You know how I've lived, my purpose. I don't have hidden agendas." Look at your Bible again. You'll notice, "You know my faith, that I'm living by faith in my life. You know that I'm a person of charity, a love-driven life, long-suffering. I've dealt with difficulties, patience, and you know how I've endured through thick and thin. We've been in this together, and I want you to know, Timothy, you know." Now listen, when you think of the people that influence your life, you need to find out and ask, are these people who are authentic? Are they real? Then there's one more characteristic of people that you need to have in your life to impact your life when you're in perilous times. Doctrinal accuracy is the first. The second is personal authenticity. And here's the third one. The people that you want to impact your life when you're in perilous times are people who are proven in adversity. In verse 11, he begins with two terms of adversity. Look at the Bible, if you would. There, he describes his own life and his own experience as an individual who has gone through persecutions and afflictions. And then he tells about three examples. He's like the old preacher, and he's looking back at his life, and he's looking back to many years before, and in fact, he's looking back to his first missionary journey and the things that happened to him on that very first missionary journey in three places. You can read the record of them in the book of Acts. You don't have to turn there, but I will turn in my scriptures. The first one is Acts chapter 13, when he goes to Antioch. He was sent from the church at Antioch, which is in Syria. He goes into modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, and he goes to another region called Pisidia. There's a city there also named Antioch. And he goes to Antioch, Pisidia, and there he has, in Acts chapter 13, a wonderful ministry. And God is working, and people are responding. His first stop in his missionary journey, and it was wonderful what God was doing. But not everybody, enemies of the gospel, were not happy about it. And let me read to you what happens while he's at Antioch. I'll begin reading Acts 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, politicians, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. They were run out of town. Woo. And so they go to Iconium, and that's the next place Paul lists in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. They went to Iconium, and again, God was working. It was wonderful what God was doing. They had an effective ministry. In fact, they were there for verse 3 of Acts chapter 14, that describes this, says they were there a long time. So they had an extended ministry and God was working. But I want to read to you what happens, Acts chapter 14, verse 5. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them, that is Paul and Barnabas, despitefully, and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Boy, you talk about political problems, and I mean the city, they're ready to be stoned. And so hey, we got to get out of here. As you just read, or as you heard me read, they go then to Iconium. When they go to Iconium, again, the Lord was working and prepared the way for them. And God was wonderfully working. But again, not everybody was happy about it. And so Acts chapter 14, let me read to you what happened. There was a riot that took place. And after this riot takes place, I'll read to you what goes on. And here and there came thither a certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Now picture this. They stone him, and they think he's dead, and they drag him out and throw him down. And then look at the next verse. Howbeit the disciples stood round about him. And here they are. These folks had been saved recently, and they just... And what happens? He rose up. Oh my, you talk about a surprise. That's a surprise. A dead man's walking. We thought he was dead. And he gets up and he goes back into the city. And the next day he leaves, goes to the next place. Now, Paul's the old preacher, and he's looking back at the persecutions that he endured, the afflictions that he endured all the way back there when he first started out his ministry. Now he's in jail. He's waiting for the time when he will, very soon, his life will be over and he will be killed for the gospel's sake. And he says to the young man, now you remember all of these things, because Timothy, do you know, all those places were places Timothy would know about. Iconium, Acts chapter 16, when we met Timothy. You know what Iconium was? Iconium was Timothy's hometown. Boy, he knew what happened when Paul came and started their church, his church. Lystra? Lystra was a neighboring city. In fact, when you read that record in Acts chapter 16, Timothy was not only well reported of by the brothers in the church and sisters in the church in Iconium, but he was also well known and reported well of by the brothers and sisters in Lystra. There was a relationship between these churches as close cities and followers of Jesus, and Timothy was well known in both of them. So you better believe he knew all about it. And then, whenever he joined Paul's team in Acts chapter 16, on that second journey, one of the things they did is they went back to the places where churches were planted on the first trip. And they confirmed and encouraged the saints. They sent along some news and some advice from the church in Jerusalem. And so they went, and the Bible describes the regions where they went, and they went right through. The road would take them right through Antioch, where Paul began his first missionary adventure. Antioch, Pisidia. And he says, Timothy, I want you to remember. And all the things I've been through, I want you to remember. Before you trust people who get your ear, before you let them influence you, whether they're going to help you or not, you need to remember that you know me. I have been proven in adversity. And before you listen to somebody, don't you, please, my dear friend, do not listen to a big talker. Listen to somebody who's stood with the Lord and seen the Lord stand with them and gone through adversity and stood true and let God, you've seen God change their lives and you've seen what God has done in their lives so that you can trust them because they've been proven in adversity. That's who you need to listen to when you're in perilous times. There's an old proverb. It goes like this: you can bring a pig to the parlor, but that doesn't change the pig, but it certainly changes the parlor. You realize that the people in your life are either going to uplift you or they're going to draw you down. When you're in perilous times, be wise about the people that impact your life. Well, there's another area to consider. God tells us, be wise about the people that impact you. But then, God tells us something else. Be wise about your perspective of perilous times. So, Paul continues in his letter, and he's already told about the persecutions he endured. And I want you to notice the personal reflection that he gives in verse 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he looks back and he says, what persecutions I endured. And after his personal reflection, he gives this powerful remembrance. And I'm picturing him as he is writing this letter, and I'm picturing him as he breathes in deeply and he sighs as he writes, what persecutions I endured. And he looks back with pain in those painful moments. But on the other hand, I can imagine the joy that comes to his heart when he gives us powerful remembrance. Keep reading in verse 11. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. How many of you know when you look back at times of affliction and persecution in those difficult times, how many of you know as you look back on that, that you can say, boy, I am so grateful. I don't understand it. I don't know how God did it, but the Lord helped me through. How many of you know what that is like? Paul says, oh my, I've been through some tough times. I didn't know how I was going to make it. I didn't know what was ahead. But I know this, as I look back, the Lord delivered me through all of it. See, when you're in perilous times, it's easy to get myopic and it's easy not to be able to see beyond the peril of the time. And we need God's wisdom and God's insight to realize that even though to me, I don't think there's an answer to my problem, I don't think there's power that is, there's just not enough power. Understand that God is a God that will give you all the help that you need to deliver you out of perilous times. He'll help you. And then he shares with Timothy a persistent reality about life that all of us would do well to remember. And your notice about this really is more prescient than persistent. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now let me ask you this. Does that seem to square with cool Christianity or costless Christianity? The reality is that there is, if you are living for Christ in a world that is in perilous times as our world is, there is always a cost. And it makes us stop and remember as we live that really it should be expected that there is a cost. And then he gives us a wonderful and precious reminder in verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Isn't it good that he lets us know there's always going to be problems like this? You see, you read the Bible and it's written thousands of years ago, and these are events that happened way back then, but it reminds us that even back in that day, God says, listen, these ones that are trying to influence for the enemy and they're drawing people away, that they're going to continue. It's always been that way. These who are deceivers, who themselves are deceived. And you know, church, it's been all these years, but how many of you know that the days in which we live, there are people who have been deceived who are now even trying to deceive others. There are always people that are trying to draw God's people away from the truth, trying to draw the lost away from the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the world in which we live, and it's the times in which we live, and God wants us to be wise about our perspective of these perilous times. Well, today in children's worship, right? You watched it all happen. There's the ball, and I didn't know, but boy, whenever that thing lit up, that was a surprise to me, right? We talked about surprises. And God says, don't you be surprised when you're going through perilous times. You ought to expect it and prepare yourself for it, to stand for Christ in your perilous times. Well, pay attention and know that God can deliver you and me in the perilous times. Well, there's something else then we need to know, and God wants us to be wise about the people who impact you in perilous times. He wants us to be wise about the people or about our perspective of perilous times. There's a third area about which to be wise, and it is this: be wise about your persistence in perilous times. And so God says in verse 14, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. With all that's happening, make sure you continue. And he looks back and he says, you know, Timothy, there are people that God has placed in your life to wonderfully bless you. They've been Godsends, literally Godsends for light into your life. And even your mom, your grandmother, we've already learned about them. You know, God, even when you were a little kid, your Jewish background, they taught you the scriptures. And those scriptures helped you to come to the point that you then understood that Christ can save and Jesus is the way. And all those things were put into your life to tell you about sin and the judgment from a holy God. All those things you learned from your Jewish background about sacrifice for sins and a covering for sin and then Jesus came, and God the Son, the Lamb of God, and you heard about him, that you're a sinner. He is the God-man, the substitute, the once-for-all substitute as the eternal God in human flesh. And you, like your grandma, was the first in your family, and you're the second in there, or your mom was the second in your family, then you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you not see how that God was so good to you in all these years and bring you to this point? And he said, I want you to know, now do not ever stop. You've served the Lord, and you've led faithfully in so many venues. Every place I've sent you, you've been faithful. You're faithful now, but don't ever stop. Continue. It was Monday night football. The Giants, New York Giants, were playing the Chicago Bears. And in that Monday night football game, Walter Payton, the Bears running back, had accumulated, it was noted by the announcer, that he had in his rushing career accumulated that night. He had made a milestone of rushing over 9 miles. And the other announcer remarked, yeah, that's something. And to imagine he did it with someone knocking him down every 4.6 yards. I'm going to tell you about running an incredible race. Because everybody gets knocked down. People that run an incredible race, when they get knocked down, they get up. Get knocked around, they get up. The world gets turned upside down, they get up, and you get up, and you keep going. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You see, this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. You get knocked down, you get back up. You fail, you get back up. There's a wonderful victory. It motivates you to keep going. And you see God's faithfulness that motivates you to keep going. And you watch God deliver you through those times that are difficult. And it keeps you keep going. And you have questions and you keep going. And you have doubts and you keep going. And you fall. And continue. So people that run an incredible race, you're running your incredible race. You're doing so because you're continuing in the things you've learned. And my friend, if you are discouraged in the way, if you've been knocked down, if you've been knocked off course, if you have chosen a path apart from the incredible race that God has for you, I'm going to tell you, today is the day for you to get up and keep going. Go. There's no better day than today, no better time than now to continue. Start over on that incredible race. Well, we are told then to be wise about the people who impact you in perilous times. We're told to be wise about your perspective of perilous times, to be wise about your persistence in perilous times. And then we're told, be wise about your principles in perilous times. What is the basis of your decision making? Everybody makes decisions, and everybody has a reason for the decisions they make, the reasons they do what they do, and they don't do what they don't do. Everybody has a reason. You may or may not think about your reason. You may or may not think through all the reasons, but everybody has a reason why they make the decisions that they make. So when you make the decisions that you make, what are the principles that guide your life? Because everybody, whether you realize it or not, again, we all have principles that guide our life. And Paul concludes this section on perilous times with a key passage that tells Timothy and us, as we read it, about the source of God's never-changing, timeless principles of truth that guide your life. Because somewhere in your life, if you want to run an incredible race, you have to start making your decisions based on biblical principle. You can't make your decisions based on feeling. That'll get you in trouble. You can't start making your decisions based on convenience, even on personal desire. You have to make decisions for an incredible race. You have to make decisions based on biblical principle. So you say, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that that there has to be a guideline outside of myself, a source of authority that I need to listen to when I make my decisions? I'm telling you, that's exactly what God says here. Well, why? Why? And in this passage of Scripture, God tells us about three reasons to live by biblical principle. This passage of Scripture is one of those key texts on the Scriptures itself, and really it could well deserve an entire sermon. But I do want to tell you very briefly these three reasons why you should listen to God's Word and live by biblical principle. The first is the provision of the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means that these Scriptures that we have, God has written them and they come from His mouth. When God breathed out to communicate His truth, He did so with the Scriptures. And that book that you have in your hand, or you have on your iPad, or is on your phone, whatever you use, is unlike any other book in the world. This is a book that is from God. Oh, and some would say, well, you know, it's been added to and corrupted and all. But listen, no. And my purpose is not to give an apologetic for the Scriptures, but I'm telling you, this is a book that is God's book. And if you want to have God's help in your incredible race, you must live by the principles of God's book. God provided you this book to guide you. Well, there's the provision of the Scriptures. And then here's another reason why you need to live by Bible principle. And that is the profit of the Scriptures. All Scriptures are given by inspiration of God and are profitable. And you'll notice in your Bible, there are four benefits of the Scriptures. They're profitable for doctrine. It's going to tell you what's right. It's going to tell you about how to run your race. And for correction, it's going to tell you what's wrong. And when you're running your race, when you got off the track or you got in the wrong lane. And beside that, it's going to tell you, verse 16, doctrine, reproof? Did I get it mixed up? Correction. Hey, there we go. That's whenever I'm on the wrong lane, or I've gotten off track. God's Word tells me how to get back in the right track and how to get back on the path for my incredible race. And then we're told for instruction in righteousness, so that while I'm running my incredible race, God gives me all the equipment and all the instruction I need to stay on the right path and keep in my lane and keep on the... It's easy to get off track. It's easy to miss running the incredible race and waste your life. And God's Word is the way God brings us together. And then I want you to notice something else, why you ought to live by biblical principle. And we find it in verse 17. Because in verse 17, we are told of the purpose of the Scriptures, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I put it this way? In God's Word, He provides all the equipment needed to help you become all that God wants you to become. Oh, imagine you're getting ready to run a race. Well, you're gonna run your first 5K or 10K, or maybe you're going to run a half marathon, maybe you're going to run a marathon. You're getting ready to run. Wouldn't it be great if you're going to run a long race, wouldn't it be great to have a coach? Wouldn't it be great to have all the gear that you need to be able to do that? And wouldn't it be great if there was a strategy that you could have for your race and a training plan to help you to be ready to run your very best race? And I'm telling you, God gives us His Word because He gives us all the equipment we need to run the very best race we can. So when God speaks and the principles of the Bible guide our lives, we submit because we have a coach who's never lost a race. We have a coach who knows the very strategic plan you need to run your incredible race. He gives you everything that you need to run. And he gives you the power to run, not your power, his power to help you to run. But we access it when we follow the principles of God's word, the Bible. How many of you would agree that we live in perilous times? Let me see your hand. Yeah, we live in perilous times. How many of you would agree that if you want to run an incredible race, you're going to need God's wisdom, right? And that brings you to your decision today. Because as God has spoken to you, are you going to be wise in your own eyes, or are you going to be wise and submit to God to help you in these perilous times? He'll help you run your incredible race. Would you stand with me, please? So, Lord, as we come to you now in prayer, as we come to you yielded and seeking for your wisdom and asking you to help us to respond correctly when you have chosen at this moment in our race to speak to us, we ask, O God, for you to help us. Now, before I'm done praying, I'm going to ask you, has God spoken to you? Could it be that God is speaking to you about your salvation and how the scriptures brought, just like he brought Timothy, our baptism today? He brings everybody to an understanding of sin and judgment, that Christ Jesus is the only one that can save. And today you can receive him and say, Lord Jesus, I see my sin, I turn from it. I, by faith, receive you and trust you alone to save me. I give myself to you, my Lord and my God. If you have not yet done so, we have people that will guide you. If you say, you know, Pastor, I just did that, we want to invite you to step from where you are and just tell one of the men that are here that you called on the Lord and received him even today, and they'll rejoice with you and be such an encouragement to you. You'd say, Pastor, I know Christ is my Savior, but I know that God is speaking to me about my incredible race. I want to be wise, so I yield myself to him. Maybe you'd say, you know, Pastor, really, God's been speaking to me about this, and I have been foolish, and I'm choosing very foolishly. But God, in his mercy, has addressed me, and I'm challenged to be wise. And whatever it is you need to do, this is the time while God is. Will you listen to the voice of the Almighty God as he has chosen this moment to speak to you in this way at this time? And so, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Thank you that you are all wise. And help us, Lord, in humility to surrender ourselves to your wisdom. And so we ask for the individuals of this congregation, as decisions are made, that will help them to run the incredible race before them. We pray you would work in their lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads.